So this week's reading from Hebrews 11:29-12:2. It remembers with respect, and it remembers with awe the heroes of the Old Testament and some from the time after the Old Testament. And it's in one short reading. The writer brings forth a whole bunch of heroes. Now, they're not all named, but let me tell you who the writer is mentioning. They're mentioning Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Deborah, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Elijah, Elisha, Zechariah, Uriah, the Maccabees, Eleazar, and Isaiah. And some of those you've probably never heard of, right? Raise your hand if you've never heard of some of those. Raise your hand if you've heard of some of those. I don't know why all of them are included. And, you know, some of the things that they did and some of the things that they're remembered for as faith heroes are not necessarily things that we remember now. But I think that the original hearers of the words, the original readers, would have gotten it a little better than we did. But I want to tell you just briefly a little bit about these faith heroes. Like Moses. You heard of Moses, right? Who's heard of Moses? The parting of the Red Sea guy. But did you know that really wasn't? Well, the Bible doesn't say Red Sea in the original translation. It says Yam Suk, which actually means Reed Sea. And just north of the Red Sea, there's a whole bunch of series of marshy lakes. And the Bible says that the wind blew all night long, and Yam Suk dried up. The Sea of Reeds dried up, and the people walked through there. But then, when Pharaoh's army tried to go through, their waters just came up from the deep. And that's the miracle that they were really celebrating there, that there was this engorging of water that wasn't supposed to happen. And Pharaoh's army was drowned. So that's the Song of Moses, or the Song of Miriam, that talks about the waters coming back up instead of the waters that parted so much. And then there's Rahab. What was Rahab's profession?
Prostitute.
She was a prostitute, yeah, and she helped the spies that came into Jericho, the Hebrew spies that came in there. She hid them, and then she was okay when the walls of Jericho fell. And then there's Joshua. He led the people after Moses, and he's the one that led them as they marched around Jericho. You know the song, right? Got it in your head now? Joshua, this is the battle of Jericho. Got it in your head now? You're going to be thinking about that the rest of the time.
Sing the second line.
And the walls came tumbling down.
Okay. You need that last part.
And then there's Gideon. Who's heard of Gideon? In a few weeks, a member from Gideon's, a representative from Gideon's, is going to be in our worship service talking about Gideon Bibles and giving out of scriptures. But Gideon was really kind of a sissy. And he always got made fun of by everybody. And what happened to him is he ended up a leader, but he didn't trust a whole lot about what was going on. And God gave him a very strange test in order to have an army defeat another army. The other army, it said, was countless, that there were as many as there are grains of sand. That's how many camels they had in this army that they were going to defeat. And God said, okay, we got 32,000. All right, Gideon, let's whittle that down. That's too many. And he had them do weird things like, you know, the ones that drank water with their mouths out of the stream instead of using their hands, they were chosen. And they ended up with 300 soldiers. And the 300 soldiers defeated this army of endless people. It's I forgot where it was. Oh, they were the Midianite and Amalekite armies. You can find that in Judges chapter 6 through 8. And then there's Deborah. Anyone here named Deborah? Deborah is one of the most famous judges of the Bible, and she was a woman. Deborah was very cool. She was with another guy that was mentioned in one of the judges. It said Barak. And actually, Barak wasn't a judge. He was more of a general. But Deborah used to judge people. And not like a judge now, not like Judge Judy. You know, people would come to her and they would have disputes and she would decide what was going to be right. And in this case, Barak said, we've got to defeat Sisera and Sisera's army. And Deborah said, okay, go take care of it. It's done. And he didn't trust her. And so he wouldn't really do it. He said, no, I need more help than that. She said, well, guess what? Because you don't trust what God is saying, then a woman is going to hand over Sisera to you. And that's actually what happens. Barak didn't trust, but then he gets the credit eventually, but a woman named Jael, J-A-E-L, invited General Sisera to sleep, to rest in her tent, And while he was sleeping, she did something with a tent peg and a skull, and it's all very morbid stuff. That's the story of Deborah. That's kind of what she's known for there, the stuff with jail. And then Jephthah. I'd never heard of Jephthah until this week. Anyone? Jephthah? Here we go. He was outcast as a younger person. He joined a band of outlaws and then became a great leader of those outlaws. And then the Israelites found out that he was a great leader of these outlaws. They asked him to come back and judge them. And he's the one that delivered them from the Ammonites at least one time. The Ammonites and the Hebrews fought all the time over just this little piece of land in Gilead. You know, the balm in Gilead? Yeah, that's where all this fighting went on. That's Jephthah. Then there's Samuel. Heard of Samuel? Samuel, when he was young, he heard the voice of God. He's sleeping, and he hears Samuel, and he gets up and he runs over to the rabbi who was supervising him. I forgot his name right now, but he says, "What do you want?" And the rabbi said, "I didn't call you." And then Samuel went back to bed. Same thing happened, and finally, after the third time, the rabbi said, "Hey, next time that happens, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And he did that, and God was actually speaking to Samuel. And it says right in the Bible that words from God were not common at that time. Just like now, you know, if you hear someone say, "God spoke to me," you either think that they're really, really super holy, but most of all, you think that they're just crazy. God said this. Well, people probably thought that of Samuel too, but Samuel was well respected by most, and he actually anointed the kings of Israel. He anointed Saul and then King David later after that. And then there is David, good King David, the one who wasn't perfect, made a lot of mistakes. You know, he the one with the Goliath slaying, and also the, remember David and Bathsheba? Know that story? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Bathsheba's out on the roof, and she's looking good, and she's married to somebody else, and David calls for her, and, I won't tell the rest. But he gets in trouble for that. But he is known as a great king, but he was not a perfect person. And then there's Daniel. You've heard of Daniel in the lion's den? Who's heard of it? Daniel worshipped God instead of the king, and he got thrown into the lion's den. And then one of his cousins, Shadrach, is the puppet there. No, one of the cousins of one of the lions there. The lion's mouths were sealed. Then there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the fiery furnace part, right? Remember the fiery furnace? Yes? And what happened? That's right. Yeah. Fiery furnace was going to burn everyone, but it burned the people on the outside, but they were saved. And then Elijah. There's a part in there that said widow's sons were resurrected. Elijah brought a widow's son back to life in 1 Kings 17. And then Elisha also did the same thing. Elisha brought back a widow, a Shunammite widow's, maybe she wasn't a widow, a Shunammite mother's son came back to life. Then we've got Zechariah, not the Zechariah who was John the Baptist's father, but Zechariah the prophet. He was stoned to death for his beliefs and for what he said. And Uriah, not the Uriah who was Bathsheba's wife. You remember that? Uriah was Bathsheba's husband, sorry. Everyone know that part? No? No. Well, that was Uriah the Gittite was Bathsheba's husband, and David had him killed. That was another bad thing he did. But this Uriah spoke around the same time as Jeremiah. You've heard of Jeremiah. He was a
prophet.
There we go. Okay. Jeremiah was a prophet. Who said bullfrog? Is he a good friend of yours? Yeah. The Hebrew people, he was a very obscure prophet. He spoke, and he was killed by King Jehoiakim's sword. It says that King Jehoiakim did it too in the end of Jeremiah. And then there's the Maccabees. Who's heard of the Maccabees? Okay, who watches Rugrats? Or watch Rugrats? Do you remember the Hanukkah episode of Rugrats with the Maccabees? No? Anyone? Okay, well, the Maccabees are the Hebrew people after the Old Testament, before the New Testament. And they endured hardship, torture, and death. And they're written about in some books that aren't in the Bible that we use, but the Roman Catholic version of it has it in there. They're called hidden books that we don't always use. 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Maccabees. And the story of Hanukkah comes from the Maccabees. And Eleazar was one of the Maccabees. He was listed in there too. What Eleazar did was he was an old man. He was like 90 years old. And they said, "You got to eat pork." And he said, "No, I can't. My religion won't let me eat pork." And so they threw him in jail. And then they tried to let him out, saying, "Just eat a little bit. We'll let you out of jail." He said, "No." And he rotted in jail, and he died in jail. because he wouldn't eat the pork. And it says that that was his faith example there. And then there's Isaiah. You've heard of Isaiah? Isaiah the prophet? Tradition. We don't know if this really happened, but according, you know, in Hebrews they believed it there. In a book called The Ascension of Isaiah, which is outside of the Bible, but it's another kind of traditional version of what happened to Isaiah. It says that it's for his execution, for his beliefs, they put him inside a hollow log, and it wasn't a magic show. They sawed him in two, and they really sawed him in two. So that's his faith example. None of you want to do that faith example, right? No. Maybe someone's going to do a magic show later, and we'll have something like that. Any Chris Angel wannabes in here? Anyone? Yeah?
One at home.
You have one at home?
Uh-huh.
We don't remember all of the heroes there. Some of them we remember, and some of them, if you look at, there's a paper version of the sermon, there's one online, you can go and look at the scriptures and study them all. I'm sure you'll do that all this week, because you find it so amazing, all the people in the Bible, right?
When are we leaving? What do we get to eat?
Not to mention, I don't have a computer.
You don't have... Well, that's the paper version of church. You can take this one home with you if you want to.
Okay, thank you.
But there is more to just remembering and respecting the heroes. You know, we remember and respect them. But this verse, this Hebrews verse, also says that it encourages the person who's reading or the person that was listening not to simply remember, but also to respond, to persevere, and to trust in Jesus as a result of hearing these other faith examples. And those lists of faith heroes is worth remembering and respecting. And so I start thinking, I didn't live with any of these faith heroes. Who are my faith heroes? And you can think of this too. There are faith heroes in your life. And I've got a list of 6 that I've written down. Now, I'm sure that there's many more, but I've got 6 that I've written down. I want to tell you about 6 faith heroes in my life. The first one is my mom. This isn't really meant to be a crying time. You know, that happens though. You start thinking about people that have been a lot. The earliest memory that I have with my mom is when I was 4 years old and I asked her some questions about God, and she taught me that Jesus loved me and Jesus wanted me to love him back. Quite simply. Then, of course, there's Mr. Rogers. Heard of Mr. Rogers? Mr. Rogers, an ordained Presbyterian minister. He reinforced the idea that I already kind of had in my head that everyone was worthy of love and that God loves everyone. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, where everyone's welcome. Then there's my dad. He's the one that has, he's right there. He's the one that throughout my life has encouraged me to know that everyone is worthy of being shown kindness and to treat everyone that I meet with kindness. I remember being in the car and I made some comment when I was younger, and it wasn't all that friendly and kindly, but, you know, sternly, he caught me on it and he said, "No, everyone, you treat everyone with kindness. You treat everyone with respect." And I've always remembered that. Then there's a seminary professor of mine named Emma Justice. Anyone know Emma? No. Emma's just, she's just an example. I think she's probably the finest example of someone that she just lives and oozes compassion and kindness and joy. And I've seen her angry too, and even when she's angry, I think that she's oozing kindness and compassion. Then there's a fellow who died just a couple years ago. His name is Mike Iaconelli. Anyone ever heard of that guy? He's kind of like the person who started youth ministry as we know it now, back in the 70s. You know, youth ministry has been going on for a long time, but he sort of started this new revolution of it. Later in his life, he wrote a few books that taught me that it's okay to have fun, or reminded me of that. It's okay to have fun, but it's also okay to be imperfect. He wrote 2 books. One of them is called Dangerous Wonder. The other is called Messy Spirituality. And he reminds us of God's annoying love for imperfect and very messy people. And then a new faith hero, her name is Marion Wright Edelman. Heard of her? Marion is the founder of the Children's Defense Fund. She's an unflinching advocate for the rights of children in areas of child care, health care, education, protection, housing, and love. She started it in 1973. It's still going strong. It's funded completely privately and it seeks to take care for children and say that children are more important than sometimes we treat them. Children are more important than sometimes we give them benefits and stuff like that. And I can remember and respect these faith heroes, and some are no longer alive. You know, Mr. Rogers is no longer alive. Mike Yaconelli isn't. But if I were to look at them and just be in awe of the example that they've had, I don't think that that would be in character with what I've learned in Hebrews 11 and 12. Because remembering their examples, I think that I'm instructed to persevere and to trust and journey on my own, trust in Jesus on my own faith journey. So each of these clouds of witnesses, you know, cloud of witnesses, has encouraged me on the faith journey that I'm on, and I remember what I've learned from them, and I continue trusting Jesus on my own journey. So here's something that I think that we can think about this week. Two simple statements, questions, whatever it is, that you can take away from here. The first one, you can think about it today, you can think about it tomorrow, all week, whatever it is. Who are your faith heroes, and what have they meant to you? And number two, how, in remembering their examples, are you persevering and trusting in Jesus on your own faith journey? I think that it's likely that you'll remember many people. Even now, as I'm thinking this, I'm thinking of more. And I could go on talking for a long, long time. But don't get me started.
Let's pray.
God, thank you for the examples that we have in our faith heroes. Help us to remember and respect them. Help us to, by their example, continue to seek you. Continue to persevere, continue to trust. In Jesus' name, amen.